and welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt. I'm the Associate Director for Marketing and Communications for the College of Engineering and your podcast host. This week, we have Joseph Sell, Canceling Projects Coordinator from the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
And can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself and what your role is at UC Berkeley?
Yeah. So again, my name is Joe Sell. I use he, him, and they, them pronouns. I'm in my fifth year of serving in the counseling unit at the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office here at UC Berkeley. So primarily my role is to work with students to make college as affordable as possible. So meeting with students individually, typically in person, but you know these days it's a little more remote, to help navigate the financial aid process and really just make sure students have access to the resources they need to meet their educational costs.
And again, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us this year. We've got quite a few questions, so let's get started. First up, can students still apply for financial aid or fill out the FAFSA?
Yeah, so the FAFSA and the California DREAM Act application typically have a deadline of March 2nd. That said, students can definitely still apply for both applications. What I would suggest is that first off, for students who are planning on attending the summer session, so any students coming in for the fall who might want to take summer classes beforehand, they would want to file their 2019-20 application, so either the FAFSA or the DREAM Act application. Otherwise, students who are coming in for the fall should go ahead and file the 2020-21 application. That's still available. Students can still apply. I would just suggest to apply as soon as possible, because once we get that application, that's when we're going to know if there's any additional requirements that students need to complete over the summer. So even though the deadline is technically passed, students can still apply. So if they have not, I would just encourage to apply as soon as possible so we can make sure everything is done over the summer.
Excellent. And I think this is going to be even more relevant this year, that if you've had a change in how your family is going to be able to contribute, how can you adjust your needs?
Yeah, what I would tell students, first of all, is when you're filling out your application, it's going to ask for information, specifically tax and income information from 2018. So that was 2 years ago. Obviously, a lot has changed since then. But my first suggestion and piece of advice is to complete the FAFSA using that information as it was in 2018, even if things have changed now. We have to at least make sure that that sort of baseline information is there. Then in the case where there's been a change, what I would suggest is to submit what's called an EFC appeal. That form is available on our website. Students can go to, the website is berkeley.verifymyfafsa.com. That's for both FAFSA and DREAM Act filers. And that appeal is available there. That gives students the opportunity to tell us kind of what the more recent changes have been in their circumstances. So has there been a change in one of, or both of their parents' employers? Have there been medical expenses or something they've incurred more recently? That appeal gives families and students the opportunity to share that information with us, provide the relevant documentation to support those changes, and then we can take a look and make any adjustments as appropriate. So really, my suggestion is if there's been any changes in the family income or anything within the household income over the past, you know, few months even, or the past year, to go ahead and review that EFC appeal so that we can make any adjustments as appropriate.
And you've mentioned the DREAM Act a couple of times. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So when students are applying for financial aid, there are two primary applications that students will use. The most known is the FAFSA. That is for students who are a U.S. citizen, a permanent resident, or an other eligible non-citizen, such as if they have like an asylum status or parole status. That's usually the first application that students will go to apply for student aid. If a student's not able to apply for the FAFSA, say for example, undocumented students or students who don't meet the citizenship requirements, they can apply instead using the California DREAM Act application. That will require that they qualify for the AB 540 non-resident tuition waiver. But if they meet that requirement and they don't meet the citizenship requirements for FAFSA, students can instead apply for aid using the California DREAM Act application. That's available. The website is dream.csac.ca.gov. And that's where students can apply there instead.
Excellent. And how is financial aid awarded, or when can students expect to receive that financial aid?
So we award financial aid based on two elements. So the first, determine how much aid we offer, is based on the student's cost of attendance. So that estimated cost of attendance is factored using all the different estimated costs that students have reported over the years. And we build that in to say, this is what we're expecting your total costs are for the year. And therefore, if we're expecting that your costs are, say, $30,000, then your financial aid award package should contain $30,000 of financial aid. Now, what types of aid are in that award package is determined by the student's EFC, or their expected family contribution. So we talked about the FAFSA and the DREAM Act applications. When you complete that application, students get that number, that EFC, right at the end. And using that, that's what we use to determine how much and what kinds of aid a student can receive. So of that, say, $30,000, how much of that is gift aid? How much of that is work study? How much of that is a student loan? Generally, the lower the EFC, the more grant and scholarship a student is going to receive. Whereas the higher EFC, the more typically loan or work study a student is going to receive instead.
And what should students take into consideration if they're trying to decide if they should take out that student loan?
What I would suggest, first of all, is to add up what have students add up what their actual costs are. So we give an estimated cost of attendance, but that may not be the actual costs. A classic example of that is one of the pieces in that cost of attendance is called personal expenses. It's a very miscellaneous piece that can be anything from, you know, toilet paper to additional groceries. It's anything. So we say we may budget for a certain amount, but you know, those expenses may be less than that. So I would say to have students add up all of their costs. What's your tuition? What is your rent for the semester? What are all those other personal miscellaneous expenses? And then subtract out what other resources you have. So what gift aid are you getting that semester? Do you have, you know, a job? Do you have employment earnings coming through? You know, what other resources do you have? And if there's a deficit there, that's when you want to start looking at student loans to help meet some of that deficit. Now, there are different kinds of student loans that students will be offered. The typical kinds you will see are the federal subsidized loan, which is the most preferable of all the student loans that we can offer. That is not accruing any interest while the student is enrolled in school. After that, you might see a federal unsubsidized loan, where interest will be accruing once that loan is disbursed to the student, even if they're still enrolled in school. There's also Parent Plus loans, which are loans that the parent can borrow on the student's behalf if they wish to do so. So there are different types of loans, but I think what comes down to whether or not to borrow that loan really just comes down to, do you have the resources to meet what your costs are? And if not, then it's a time to start thinking about using loans to help supplement those costs.
And you talked a little bit about the miscellaneous extra expenses. So financial aid is made to cover like on-campus or off-campus housing costs?
That's correct. So financial aid is designed to cover any educational expenses. So that is tuition fees, housing, food, personal expenses, transportation, books and supplies, those sorts of things. So if students are living on campus, generally their room and board will be charged to their student account. When we disperse financial aid, which disperses generally around 10 days before the start of the semester, it'll pay to the student's account to pay off as much of their tuition fees and whatever housing charges or other charges they have first.
Okay.
At that point, if there's nothing left for that aid to pay, it'll then refund the student if it's in excess. If a student's living off campus, they won't have those charges on their account. So the same thing will happen. Aid will pay to their account. It'll pay whatever tuition and fees they have. And then if it's in excess of that, it'll refund to the student. This happens most often for students living off campus because they don't have that room and board charged to their account. So typically they'll get a refund at the beginning of the semester if they have enough aid to do so. And then it's their responsibility to budget that out to make sure they can pay all 4 or 5 months of that rent that semester. But the short answer to your question is yes, financial aid can cover housing costs, food, books and supplies, those sorts of things outside of just tuition and fees.
Do you have any resources for students to learn how to do the budgeting?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is just to look at the estimated cost of attendance, just to kind of see that baseline. That's located in Cal Central, right in the middle of the My Finances page. But a more helpful resource that I would suggest is we have what's called Bears for Financial Success. It's a peer mentoring group of other fellow students at Berkeley who work with students one-on-one to develop a more personal budget and, you know, discuss spending plans and other ways to sort of stretch their resources to make sure they're getting the most out of it. So it's a free resource available for students. They can just search BFFs on the financial aid website, and that'll bring them to the Bears for Financial Success website. And they can set up individual sessions with an advisor just to go through more of the specific budgeting pieces. So less about sort of the financial aid questions and more about personal spending, budgeting habits, that sort of thing.
And that's from your peers. So that makes it so they're living through what they're canceling you on.
Exactly. Yeah. So these, you know, the peers have gone through this exact thing. They're students and they have the lived experience here and they can share that with students as well. You're right.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that was there. And what is work study? We talked about that a little bit, and how does that affect the financial aid?
So work study is a financial aid resource, but what work study is it's an opportunity for students to open up some additional employment opportunities for students. So some employers will only pay students out of a work study budget, meaning that they'll only hire students who are eligible for work study. If someone is eligible for work study, that opens up that job pool for them so they can apply for those different positions. Now they function like a regular job. The student receives a paycheck, you know, either every couple weeks, every month, however the employer pays. They can earn up to that maximum amount of work study. So say, for example, that they have a $4,000 work study offer. That means that during the entire academic year, students can earn up to $4,000 from their work study job. Even then, in some cases, if they're going to earn over that $4,000, they can always reach out to us and we can see if there's any opportunity to extend that further. But in general, it's part of the financial aid package, but it's essentially, it works the same way as a regular job. It just opens up more job opportunities for students.
Is there anything that a student has to do to accept the work study? Do they have to convert anything or?
Yeah, so we'll initially offer work study to all students who are eligible. That eligibility goes back to being based on the EFC. So students have to present enough what's called eligibility for need-based aid in order to receive work study. But if someone is eligible, that'll be right there on the award package when we first offered over the summer. Students are then encouraged to go in and accept that work study offer. Usually that can be done, I think, as early as July 1st. Students can go in and start accepting that in Cal Central. That's just a way to say, hey, I'm interested in this work study award. I want to seek this out when the year starts. I would tell students, even if they're remotely interested in work study, even if they don't have something, you know, secured, but they are interested in applying, to go ahead and accept that work study just to make sure it's available. If they don't accept it, eventually what we're going to do is just roll that into a loan eligibility instead, assuming that the student is not interested in work study. They can always come back and ask for it later. That's not a problem. And then that process, like you mentioned, would be converting some of that loan back into work study. So if there's ever a case where someone does not have work study, but they're interested in pursuing it, they can always reach out to us and we can see if any of their loans can be turned into work study instead. That way it opens up that opportunity for them.
And how do students find work study positions?
So they can, on their award package, there's a small link right above the work study offer that says find a job. That's just one way to get there. The address is just workstudy.berkeley.edu. There will be a link where they can sign in. Students have to have an active work study offer in order to be able to access the work study portal. So they'll sign in with their student login with their CalNet ID. It'll check to see if they have work study. And if so, then they'll automatically have access to that portal so they can start applying for jobs.
Excellent. And as they move into the semester, is there any GPA requirements that a student needs to take into consideration with their financial aid?
For financial aid purposes, we have what's called Satisfactory Academic Progress, or SAP. What SAP requires is that students are maintaining at least a cumulative GPA of 2.0 or higher in order to maintain their financial aid eligibility. Now, there are other requirements that go along with that as well. Students also have to complete at least 67% of the units that they attempt cumulatively at UC Berkeley. And they also can't attempt more than 150% of their program. So for undergrad students, that's more than 180 units. It's a lot. So a lot of undergrad students don't get there, but it is still a requirement. To your question, though, the 2.0 GPA is that minimum. So in order to maintain aid eligibility, students have to keep a 2.0 GPA. If for some reason they don't or they fall short of that, they're then given an opportunity to appeal or something that's called an SAP appeal. So they can kind of give us an explanation of what occurred and we can review to see if we can still offer aid eligibility.
Excellent. And later this summer, some students might see something that says CNP on their Cal Central. Can you tell us more about what that stands for and if it's cause for worry?
So CNP stands for cancellation for non-payment. Cancellation for non-payment is a university policy that says that students must cover or must pay at least 20% of their tuition and fees for the upcoming semester by a specific deadline in order to make sure that they are not dropped from their courses. Now, a lot of financial aid recipients are relying on financial aid to cover that 20%. So what I would say for financial aid recipients or students who are expecting financial aid to cover those costs would be to go to your current award package in CalCentral and see if those, if your gift aid or your total aid resources are enough to cover 20% of those tuition and fees. If so, then the next step is just to make sure that their file is complete, because that way we know everything will disperse in time 10 days before the semester begins. One suggestion I would give, on the registrar's website, they actually have what's called, it's just a CNP tool. And that website is, it's just registrar.berkeley.edu/CNP tool. And it gives students sort of a question by question analysis of, you know, yes or no, what kinds of criteria, you know, do you have aid to cover 20% of your fees, you know, those sorts of things. And it will give students sort of a step-by-step as to what their next steps are. You know, do you need to make sure your file is complete? You know, should you be concerned about CNP? Is there an exception on your file? Those sorts of things. So I think what I would suggest is, if students are have any concerns about CNP, to go ahead and check out that CNP tool just to see kind of where they stand. And of course, they can always reach out to us if they have any questions about their individual file.
And we've also had students start emailing us saying that they're trying to get ready for next year and they need to buy a computer and they don't have the funds to be able to do that. Is there any kind of financial assistance to help students get a computer or anything that might be more costly as they start their journey here?
Yeah, so we have what's called a cost of attendance adjustment request. At the beginning, we talked a little about the cost of attendance, including things like, you know, personal expenses and transportation and that sort of thing. One item that's not automatically included in that cost of attendance is the cost of a computer. And so students can request with us to add the cost of a computer into that cost of attendance. Therefore, we can then offer aid to meet that cost. So the form is just, again, it's called a cost of attendance adjustment request that opens up usually around the beginning of September. And it's available on our forms page, berkeley.verifymyfafsa.com. Students can submit that appeal. They can opt for the computer, even if they haven't purchased it yet. They can say, here is what I'm planning on purchasing. Here's, you know, a screenshot or an invoice of what I'm planning on buying. And that's sort of their documentation to say, here's what I intend to purchase. We can then review that, and we can then increase the cost of attendance and therefore increase their aid to meet that computer cost. One thing to note is that generally these adjustment requests will only yield additional loan or work study. So they typically do not increase a student's gift aid. So if students are needing resources to buy that computer, it's very likely going to come from loan or work study, but they can submit that adjustment request and we can process that for them.
And as the year gets going, if something happens that a student needs emergency funds, is there a way for them to apply for emergency financial aid?
There are, and there are a couple different resources. So the first I would suggest is if students are facing an emergency related to their basic needs, so say, for example, you know, a housing situation or food insecurity, my first suggestion is for students to connect to our Basic Needs Center. So they have different programs where they can help refer students to different either on-campus or off-campus resources to meet whatever those needs are. So whether that's, you know, connecting with CalFresh, or if that's needing to apply for, say, a housing security deposit assistance. You know, one example is that if students are facing housing insecurity and need to move, you know, at short notice or just need assistance covering that deposit, there's an application they can fill out to receive assistance with that. So there are various, you know, different forms of assistance through the Basic Needs Center. But in general, we also have what's called it's an emergency loan. It's an opportunity for students to, basically they're going to borrow against their student account. They would say if they need to borrow a short-term amount of $300, we would charge the account for $300 and then refund them $300. That way they have that short-term assistance. Definitely, you know, sort of the last scenario if needed. And we can always walk through that if students have any questions, but that's also an opportunity just if there's a short-term emergency need, students can apply for that emergency loan as well.
And so we've been talking a lot about loans, but what about scholarships? Can students still be on the lookout for those? And what would be a good place to start if they can?
Absolutely. One website I like to suggest is scholarships with an S on the end, scholarships.berkeley.edu. And that link goes to our scholarship connection. I think one common belief is that students can only apply for scholarships the summer before they start in the fall. Scholarship applications are valid and accepted all throughout the year and each year too. So not just the student's freshman year. That website I suggest because it's always rolling out these different application deadlines as they become available, and they're constantly updating and adding new scholarships as they come about. These are often the scholarship programs that we tend to see. So I refer students there as just sort of a starting place. One helpful tool that website offers is it has sort of a filtering feature where they can say, I'm an incoming freshman, I'm studying engineering, you know, I'm a permanent resident, like what scholarships apply to me based on these criteria. And it will filter out the scholarships just based on those. So that's definitely one good sort of landing place, but not an end-all be-all. Just on our financial aid website, just financialaid.berkeley.edu, you can just search scholarships. There's some other links to various other databases as well. But definitely that scholarships.berkeley.edu is my first suggestion.
And do scholarships affect the financial aid package?
They can. So what I would suggest for students is to, if they know they're going to receive an outside scholarship, in Cal Central, there's a feature right above their award package where it says report outside resources. My suggestion is for students to go ahead and fill that information out once they know for sure they're receiving a scholarship. What that'll do, is it'll add a placeholder into their award package that says, you're expecting to receive a $2,000 scholarship, and so we'll go ahead and adjust your award package accordingly. Typically, what we try to do is to reduce as much of those loans and work studies we possibly can, because the total financial aid awards have to stay within that cost of attendance we've described. Hmm. So if you're already receiving $30,000 of aid and you get a $2,000 scholarship, we have to reduce $2,000 of something else. And we always try to make it a loan or work study that students not planning on using. That way it's not reducing any other gift aid. But depending on how much scholarship they're getting or what that the student's eligibility looks like, it could possibly reduce other scholarship or other gift aid. So my suggestion is to go ahead and report that upfront. That way you know right from the beginning what it's going to do. And if there are any questions about how that is impacting aid or ways to keep that from impacting scholarship, then students can reach out to us and we can walk them through that process.
And what's your biggest piece of advice for students about financial aid and scholarships?
I think my biggest piece of advice is just to ask questions. You know, financial aid is complicated. I've been in financial aid for 10 years now, and it's still complicated. And there's just so many pieces and so many things that change. And I think that it's very easy to think that everything makes sense and then something changes and it's just like, what happens? So my suggestion is always just ask questions. There's no stupid question. You know, we always want to be available to answer these. Best ways to reach out to us, I would say the starting place would be to reach out to Cal Student Central. Our Cal Student Central advisors work directly with financial aid. They also work with billing and the registrar's office. So they can really provide a good holistic sort of advising experience to say, hey, you have these financial aid questions, but you also need to get transcripts for records or something like that. So that's a good starting place. And then if it's something that requires a more in-depth conversation, then students can work with one of us counselors and we can go through their individual circumstances and assist accordingly.
And is there anything that you didn't get to talk about today that you think we need to touch on?
I really think that, I think again, it's just making sure that everything is done over the summer. I think that's really the biggest piece is, you know, we have time now going into the fall to make sure that file is ready. We're sending out notices to students just to say, hey, we have your FAFSA on file or your Dream Act application on file, but you may have to complete a verification requirement or something like that. Or we mentioned the appeal process earlier. If there's been a change in the household income, then students want to submit that appeal as soon as possible because we get a whole bunch right around this time and we want to make sure we're reviewing them as quickly as we can. So I think my suggestions are, especially as we're preparing for the fall, check Cal Central, see if there are any financial aid requirements that need to be completed. Are there any verification tasks? Is there any other transcripts or anything you need to do for Cal Grant or anything like that that needs to be done? Go ahead and do that now. That way everything is good to go and ready when we disperse in August. You know, if you want to submit any appeals, if there's been a change in your income or something like that, start that process now. That way we can address it over the summer. And that way it's not hanging over into the end of the fall semester.
Yeah, that'll make it easier when you get here and you're already having to transition into this new world of college.
Exactly. Yeah, those first few weeks, you know, orientation is going on, getting used to classes. You know, no one really wants to think about the financial aid process at that time. There's other stuff going on. So, you know, my suggestion is get all that done over the summer, that we don't have to worry about it. And then when you get here in the fall, you can focus on classes and then we can take care of it on our side for you.
And you know, because of any changes that we're having because of the COVID-19 pandemic, none of that is going to affect being able to turn in this paperwork and getting your financial aid in order?
Yeah, so we're all working remotely. Our services have continued just online and remotely at this point. So what I would suggest too, so we're constantly updating our financial aid website for any additional COVID-19 related updates. You can just search COVID-19 on our financial aid site, and there is a page right there that shows any different updates, and we're always keeping it as updated as possible for anything new that changes. So if there's any questions about, how are things being impacted by current circumstances, definitely feel free to just check out the COVID-19 updates on our financial aid website. All that information will continue to be posted there. But like you said, everything else continues as normal. We're all still here. We're all still reviewing documents and we're all still answering questions. So, please feel free to reach out to us. Please continue to submit those documents over the summer. That way we can make sure everything is ready for the fall semester.
Well, thank you, Joe, so much for coming in and joining us today. I guess you're not really coming in; you're calling in.
So I still feel like I'm here. It's still here with you. So,
and I know financial aid, it's such an important part of college planning, and it's great to get to know more about all these campus resources. So, thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. And if you've got any more questions, make sure you check out the financial aid website. We're going to have links to everything that we talked about on our welcomeengineer.berkeley.edu. And I look forward to podcasting with you again next week. Thank you.